Our scripture reading for today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 1 through 20. You can follow along in the insert in your bulletin, of course, and then you can also follow along on page 50 in the ESV Pew Bible on the pew back in front of you. Hear now God's word. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent.' And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over till the morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some of them left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank." This is the word of the Lord.
We are in week two of a three-week series called Faith Forward. And we are talking about our transition out of the denomination, the PCUSA, into the EPC. We're going on this big adventure as a congregation. As most of you know, we will be leaving this building within the next 9-10 months. And so this is a significant time in the life of our church. And it's a time where if you are part of NAPC, and I'm speaking with you, that we want to encourage you to make a commitment, a financial commitment to NAPC for the 2019 year. And as you leave, there is a commitment card out on the middle table or at the Welcome Center. Would love for you to fill one out, to return it, or to email the office, and just to let us know that you are making that financial commitment. It would be a tremendous help to us. And if you want to know more about the budget, please come to the meeting next Sunday. Also, there's an insert in your bulletin that looks like this. Please have a look at that. And if you're brand new here, this is your first Sunday, and if you've had this idea like, man, all the church does is talk about money, I don't know what to say. I mean, this just that's where we are. You can ignore that part of it. We're just glad that you are here. So welcome, those of you who are new. For everybody else, I'm talking to you, okay? And so, but I think this is relevant for all of us, because as we look at the text, what we're going to find is that there is a huge difference between grumbling and being grateful, okay? Huge difference. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we're grateful. We're grateful for life and for the gift of your word and for the sunshine and for a warm sanctuary when it's cold outside. It's Veterans Day, and we want to thank you for the men and women who have served faithfully in our armed forces. And Father, we pray for those who are serving in active duty as well as our veterans. We pray that you protect them and that you would help them. And Lord, so many men and women come back after being in combat, especially just with all kinds of struggles and trials. And we pray, Lord, that you would help them, that you would be with them, that you would bless them. We also, Lord, want to lift up to you people in California affected by all the fires and after the shooting. There's just so many terrible things going on in the world. We pray your kingdom would come. And so, Lord, this morning as we come to you, we pray that your word would open up to us and that you would speak to us, convict us where we need to be convicted, help us to be encouraged where we need to be encouraged. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you just, if you weren't here last week, we're looking at the people of God, the Israelites, as they leave Egypt and go into the wilderness and then eventually into the promised land. So what happened last week is we looked at the parting of the Red Sea, this incredible miracle where God rescues his people, okay? So that's what we talked about last week. They walked through the Red Sea untouched and the waters crashed down on their enemies, the Egyptian army that was seeking to destroy them. And then right after that, in Exodus 15, Moses composes this beautiful song of praise to God, who is a warrior who rescues his people. And then right after that, the people of God are walking along and they get thirsty and they don't know what to do because they're in the desert. And so what happens? God provides them what they need, provides them with water. And not just water, they go to this beautiful oasis. And there's 70 palm trees and 12 streams, and they have more than enough water in this beautiful place. So God provides not just with, you know, a cup of dirty water. He provides streams and an oasis in the desert. So that's what has just happened, before we get to this text in Exodus 16. They're walking, and they're not thirsty anymore. They had water, but they are actually now hungry. And so, do they just say, God, you know, we trust you. We know you're good. You just gave us water, and so we trust you for food. No, that's not what they do. They grumble. They grumble. And the word grumble is used. It's used 8 times in this text. You probably saw it repeated over and over. It's only used 32 times in the Bible. So a full quarter of them are used right here. And every time it's used in the Bible, it's used in a negative way. So like New Testament, the word grumble is used 11 times. It's the Pharisees grumbling about Jesus, which probably shouldn't do that to Jesus. And then in the letters, like Paul or Peter, they write, do not grumble. Like, don't do that. So what does that word mean? Well, it means to quarrel or to be sullen, you know, to complain, to moan and groan, to refuse to acknowledge all that we have. And so point number one is we grumble when we lose sight of God. We are grateful when we see him for who he is. The people of Israel lost sight of God somehow, right after he provides water, right after he leads them out of slavery, they lose sight of who he is. And they have this trial where they're hungry, and that causes them to grumble. And here is a very important truth for you, because you will have trials. Okay, you may not be walking in a desert hungry, but you will have trials. And here's that truth. If you see God for who he is, in all his holiness, awesomeness, mercy, and you interpret your trial through the goodness and awesomeness of God, then you'll be grateful. But if you interpret life through your trial and then say, well, God must not be close to me, and God must not love me, you will grumble. So it's really a choice that you have. Are you going to see God and interpret your trial in light of who God is, or are you going to see your trial and interpret God through the lens of your trial? It's one or the other. It's very simple. Which one will you do? The people of God grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and they believe that God is not going to provide for them. Somehow, that's what they believe. Now, I want to give you an example, a very personal example of how this can work itself out. Some of you have traveled in from out of town because you are here for the funeral tomorrow. Dave Gem, a dear brother, passed away suddenly, not yesterday, but the Saturday before, and is still in mourning over him, and tomorrow's the funeral. And I've spent some time this week with Betsy, his wife, with Miss Betsy, as the children's choir calls her. And yesterday, she and her daughter, Alaire, came to the men's group. We have a men's Bible study that meets Saturday morning, 7:30 to 9. And they came to that Bible study. And they ministered to the men. You know, it was kind of intended, I think it was supposed to be, to comfort them. They ended up comforting and helping these men who were just brokenhearted in tears, because Dave was a big part of that Saturday morning study. So I want to lift up to you. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's over. I'm not saying it won't be difficult. It will be, and it is. But what I'm saying to you is that here's an example in our midst of a woman who is taking who God is and the promises of God and the promises that Dave, a brother in Christ, is worshiping God in heaven. Does that make it easy? Absolutely not. But she's using the lens of God to interpret this terrible thing that's going on. Would that all of us be like that. Amen? And that is a beautiful picture of what I'm talking about. If you lose sight of God, you'll grumble. If you see him for who he is, you will be grateful. There's a pastor named H.B. Charles, a contemporary pastor, and he talks about this children's prayer. You know this prayer, that you probably learned it. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Yes. It always bothered me that does not rhyme. Like, it just, we should say good food or something like that, but it doesn't rhyme. So anyway, this is what H.B. Charles said. If you know that God is great and God is good, you won't spend your life fussing, complaining, and whining about your situation. You won't do it. And so my question for you is, have you lost sight of who God is this morning? Maybe you're in a grumbling mood today, or this week, or shoot, for 2018, year of grumbling. Well, time to turn it around. God is so good. And if we see him for who he is, then we will see that he has sent us Jesus to rescue us from sin and give us promises that no matter what happens, we will be with him. That no matter what happens, he can use what happens in our lives for joy. Okay, so ask yourself, are you losing sight of God, or do you see him for who he is, and does that turn your life into a life of gratitude? Number two, we grumble when we compare backward. We're grateful when we see his abundant gifts. Look at what the Israelites say. It's so comical. Verse 3, the people of Israel said to them, to Moses and Aaron, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Like, they're having food fantasies here, okay? This is hilarious. Would that we could just go back into slavery. And if you go back into the earlier chapters of Exodus, you'll find they weren't like partying by the meat pots. They were working and abused and oppressed. But they look backward, and they look back nostalgically to what was. And I want to submit to you, that's not a helpful thing to do. It just doesn't help to look back and to say, oh, I wish my life were how it used to be. And most times, I don't know if you compare backwards. Most times, I don't have a hard time with that. I have a harder time comparing myself to people around me. You know, like I look at what they have, And I don't know if you struggle with that, with looking at people who might have a little bit more money than you, who might have a little bit more success than you, whose kids might be a little more well-behaved than your kids you want to strangle right now or whatever it is. For me, personally, the way this works out is I look at other pastors who are maybe a little bit more successful, a little bit more well-known, and I wish that I were that, and that, I promise you, is not helpful, like ever. I want to learn from people who do things better than I do, but not helpful. Do you compare yourself, and does that help you? Because if it doesn't help you, I think it's much better to look at the gifts that God has given you. And if you have real problems right now, well, it's good to set about to work on those. Like, there's a guy named Jordan Peterson. He wrote a book, and it's called 12 Rules for Life, and he's not a Christian, but I like a lot of what he has to say. And there's a chapter entitled in his book, this is the title of the chapter, Compare Yourself to Who You Were Yesterday, Not to Who Someone Else Is Today. And he doesn't mean what I'm saying not to do, like look back and long for that. He's saying, if you don't like who you are today, then are you improving? Like, look at who you were yesterday. Are you a little bit better by God's grace? And as you set yourself in sanctification to seek to be more like Jesus, are little things happening? Because by God's grace, you and I, we can grow to be more the people that God wants us to be in Christ. Don't compare yourself to who other people are today. And you can also practice gratitude. Again, H.B. Charles, he says, you ought to thank God for life, health, and strength. Thank God for food, clothing, and shelter. Thank God for grace, mercy, and love. Thank God for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's who we are to give thanks for, to God for all of those things. So here's a practical thing that I want you to do as you leave today. Take a piece of paper and write down 25 things that you are grateful for today. And then I want you to share that list with somebody that you know, your family, your wife, your husband, your son, your friend, whoever it might be. In fact, do this right now. Turn to your neighbor and tell them two things that you are grateful to God for today. Go. Everybody done? You introverts are like, please make it stop. You guys are like, you're like, I'm grateful that I don't have to talk anymore. I mean, all of us, every single one of us, we stand on ground that has been laid for us in almost infinite ways. Like, we have so much that we did not earn or deserve, that is just given to us, that we can be grateful for every day of our lives. It's like, I asked Hunter, he's a senior at New Albany High School, I asked him, what's the coolest car that somebody drives to school, okay? What's the, like, what your opinion, what's the coolest car? And this is what he said, this is an Audi S7, and I looked it up, and it's not cheap, and it's a nice car. And one of his, I don't know who it is, somebody, classmate, whatever, drives that car. And we are sort of like a 17-year-old driving an S7. It's like you see him and you're like, come on, dude. Like, what did you do for that? Like, your parents are generous. But do we say, wow, he must really have his stuff together working at Laser Craze part-time? Like, no. No. It's a gift. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. And you and I, we are the same. We have so many gifts that God has given us that we simply do not deserve. And God answers, like, God hears them in spite of their grumbling. Look at verse 6. He says, at evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. He's going to rain bread from heaven. And then he's not just going to give them bread. You go down in verse 12. He says, at twilight you shall eat meat. And in the morning, you shall know that I am the Lord. And I want you to know that for God's people, like, they misunderstand God. They said, I wish we were back in Egypt and God would have shown who he is by killing us in Egypt. And that is a total misunderstanding of who God is. For we, his people, God does not show himself in judgment. He shows himself in provision. And that's the cross of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. We see in the cross of Jesus Christ, it's the judgment of God on Jesus for us so that we are provided with salvation. And in this giving of bread to the people of God, you know, we're studying the gospel according to John, and you remember in John chapter 6 maybe, where Jesus says this, "I am the bread of heaven, come down." And this whole manna thing that is recorded in the word of God is pointing toward Jesus, who would be our provision for the spiritual food that starving souls desperately need. So, we ought not to grumble, we ought to be grateful. As a church, we're going through this big transition. If you didn't know this, we're leaving our building and lots of things happening. And you know, I think a question that we might ask is, man, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to leave the building? Why is all this happening to us? And I think those are the wrong questions to ask, okay? So why are we doing this? I think we could answer that question in this way. God has given us a mission, and it is worth a lot of sacrifice to carry out the mission. So why are we going to the EPC? I want to give you three very easy to remember reasons. We are going to a place where believing in the Bible as the Word of God, the inerrant Word of God, and believing that Jesus is our only hope, and we will be strengthened in that, in those beliefs. We are going because the mission to share the gospel with people and to make disciples is enhanced and strengthened. It's very clear. That's what the mission of the church is. That's what this denomination believes. And finally, we are going because we believe in reaching out to communities in need, and we are getting, like, our whole project in Linden, and you'll hear more about this. I'm actually going to talk about this next week. Our whole project in Linden is because of what we're doing in the EPC. So, it's an exciting time. It is an adventure. And it's an exciting time where we are pursuing our mission. And I'm so encouraged that we have 350 people who have said, "I'm in." Like, that's awesome. And if you haven't yet, and you haven't, like, signed the charter, man, if you are in with us, as you walk out on the left is a charter, and you see them, like, hanging up, the ones that people have signed, please go sign that charter and just say that you are in too. Okay? Would love for you to do that. Number three, we give when we have grateful hearts. We hoard when we have grumbling hearts. If you flip over to the back in verses 16 and 17, you see this beautiful thing that it reminds me of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread that Jesus taught us to pray, that we're going to pray in just a little bit. This is what the Lord has commanded, verse 16. Gather of it, this bread, each of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, which an omer was 18 ounces. I'm just kidding. I don't know what an omer is. It's just enough to eat, I guess. Take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent. And then look at what happens. And the people of Israel did so. Some gathered more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over. Whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. In other words, it was enough. It was enough. And gratitude would be to give part of that, not to hoard. But what do the Israelites do? Those hard-headed Israelites that are strikingly like certain people of God today. What happens? They hoard. Just like we do. We are so fearful of the future that we do too. Look at what happens. Moses says in verse 19, let no one leave any of it over till morning. What do? They bust out the Tupperware and they collect as much as they can. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning. And what happened in the morning? It bred worms and stank. Like, ew, gross. Why? Just take what you need for the day. Grumbling hearts that are not appreciative of who God is and what God has given hoard. Grateful hearts that know all good things come from God and that they will have enough, give. There is a big difference. And believe me, I know it is hard to trust God. It is. It's hard to trust God with our money. But just like the people of God in Exodus, we trust God for today and we give accordingly. And look, I know that this is nuanced, okay? I know that the Bible does commend saving to us. The book of Proverbs, a wealth of wisdom on how we save our money and we invest and we plan accordingly. We should do that. But a good measure of whether you are trusting God enough to give is whether or not you are giving what hurts. And I would say that in our day, in our time, tithing is a great mark for you. Now, I could say this with 1,000 caveats, and I know that not everybody's in the same financial position, and some of you are in a really hard place right now, and so take all of this in line with your circumstances. It's between you and God. But tithing is a great general rule of thumb. Are you tithing? Are you giving 10% of what God has given to you? It's not like a hard, fast law. Jesus does mention the tithe once in Matthew 23, and he does mention it positively, like you should do this. But it's not like it's a law, and it's something that I encourage you to consider because it's very easy to hoard. Easy to hoard. And the truth is, God always provides, and he does provide differently for different people, without question. God always provides, though, and the question is, will we be grateful for what we have and express that gratitude by giving generously, or will we grumble about what we don't have and hoard? And you will know if you're being grateful in your giving, if you're giving generously, if you are, for instance, tithing. And so I close with this. Are you grateful or grumble? I know that this is not grammatically correct. Today's Veterans Day. It's also I don't know if you knew this, it's the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. 100 years ago today, the end of World War I. World War I was this baptism by fire and death into the modern world, where, up until that point, it felt like technology kept improving and things were just getting better and better. And World War I introduced us to the 20th century, where technology and things that are supposed to make it better and better were used to kill tens and hundreds of millions of people. No, human sin still very much exists, doesn't it? And one of the men who was tremendously affected by World War I, as he saw, almost a generation die, was the Brit, C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis wrote about grumbling later in life, and this is what he said. Hell begins with a grumbling mood, always complaining, always blaming others, but you still distinct from that mood. You may even criticize it in yourself and wish that you could stop the grumbling, but there may come a day when you can no longer. Then there will be no you left to criticize the grumbling mood or even to enjoy it, but just the grumble itself going on forever like a machine. It's not a question of God sending us to hell. In each of us, there is something growing which will be hell unless it is nipped in the bud. If you want to get over grumbling, be grateful. And if you want to truly express your gratitude, then give generously. Let's pray.